You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. You should be in Matthew chapter 7. And we've talked about quite a few things in this Matthew 7 series. We talked about ask, seek, knock. That was on Father's Day. I'm cheating. I'm going to go look at my notes. I feel like I'm missing a Sunday. Then we talked about judge not. And then value what is holy. And so this week, we're going to discuss know them by their fruits. Know them by their fruits. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 to 20 today. That's our base scripture for today. And I want you to read it all with me. Let's just read it together. Amen? Amen. Matthew, y'all was like, nah. Yeah, y'all can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20 on the count of three. Amen? Amen. Let's 1, 2, 3. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Give God a praise offering for the word. And you know, this is what Jesus said. A lot of times we say things like, you'll know them by their fruit. But this is really what Jesus is telling the church at the time, but also the wisdom that he's giving us. And he goes into detail in this Matthew version of the Sermon of the Mount. Amen? And he says, he's giving us, first of all, a warning. He says, beware of false prophets. False prophets are pretend foretellers or religious imposters. Pretend foretellers or religious imposters. They look like prophets, but they're not really prophets. And there's so much to think about when we think about this particular warning. First of all, it ain't new. In the Old Testament, they had false prophets. In the New Testament, they had false prophets. And so we should expect to find false prophets today. So false profiting has been a racket since profiting has been in the Word of God. So God sent prophets to speak to his people. And as soon as God sent prophets to speak to his people, then the devil sent others to want to dissuade us from the things of God. So we have to understand that this isn't new. This is not a new phenomenon. But we're in a different day and age, and sometimes we don't see the false prophets because we're not looking for them in the way that they appear today. We're looking like they did back in the day. And so back in the day, you had your Pharisees, your Sadducees, the folks that kind of ran the church, and you have to think about why false prophets were, one, so effective. Because they were good at what they did. And, you know, we have this expectation that we'll just be able to see a false prophet. Well, if it that were that easy, they wouldn't be fooling nobody. Let's just keep it real. You most likely have been fooled by a false prophet. I most likely have been fooled by a false prophet. Not because they're so good, but because we're not always watching with our spiritual eyes like we should. And we don't do the other things that God tells us to do to ensure that we stay on the straight and narrow. And Jesus says in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And the Amplified, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you dressed up as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. And so sheep look innocent, harmless, meek, youthful, and good. This is what the Matthew Henry commentary said about pretending to be sheep. So false prophets are going to pretend to be innocent and harmless and meek and youthful and all that is good, which means false prophets are going to look like they are godly. So if you're looking for someone that looks like the big bad wolf in the fairy tale, you ever wonder, I forgot the name, who was it that got eaten by the big bad wolf? Little Red Riding Hood. And people are always like, well, how didn't she know? With the big teeth and the whatever, whatever. Because he was dressed up like a sheep. He was trying to fool her. And so, you know, it wasn't that she didn't figure it out, but he was trying to pull it off. So false prophets are going to look like what God looks like on the outside, but on the inside is where you find the difference. And then verse 16 says, you will know them by their fruits. Jesus gave us the cheat code. We're going to know false prophets by their fruits. Sometimes stuff is so simple, we make it so hard. But it really is basic and simple. It's just that we don't bother to follow through the steps to know what the fruit are. And it's the strange thing. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And y'all are looking at me the way I looked at this scripture. Because what I have realized is that we as a society are so far from agriculture. And we as a society, as a church, as believers, as individuals, need to get back to putting our hands in the ground. Because we don't grow our own food. We go to the store. If we ask these kids today, how do grapes grow? Because I had to look it up. Just to make sure as I am preaching this sermon, because Jesus says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes? And I'm like, I've never seen grapes in the wild. I go see grapes in Kroger, in the bag. I don't go to the grapevine. You might go to a wine, and then if I go to a winery, y'all be talking about me, but we don't be out on them farms. Most of us don't work on farms. Most of us have very limited interaction with agriculture. And so we go and buy the finished product or the cut product from where we are. One of my friends has a very voracious garden. She's got a huge garden. And this year she decided to grow Brussels sprouts. And she said the Brussels sprout grew, but all it was looking like a big cabbage on the end. So I was like, hold up. I have seen Brussels sprouts in their natural state. And so if you ever get them in their natural state, you have to cut them off the stalk. And so it does grow up, and there is a cabbage head on the end, but then the little sprouts grow on the stalk of the thing behind. You have to chop the stalk off and then chop the little sprouts out. And so I sent her a picture and said, this is where you're going. She was like, oh, yeah, it's growing right. It just wasn't done. But if you don't know how a thing is supposed to grow, then you don't know if grapes are supposed to come with thorns. But they don't. Grapes grow on a vine. And there are no thorns on the vine. Figs grow on a tree. And so there are no thistles in the tree. But Jesus assumes that we know how these things grow, and in actuality, we don't know how they grow. Take that to the spiritual side of the house. We are supposed to know them by their fruit, But often we don't know what those fruit are supposed to produce and what it's supposed to grow from. And so when we think about prophets, and we're going to turn to some scriptures in a little bit that talks about how God has given prophets to the church, New Testament, but sometimes we don't even know where we're supposed to be getting this prophecy because we don't understand how it's supposed to work. Now, at this point, you should really be thanking and praising God for our founder, Pastor Sam Goodwin. Because one thing we ain't ever had in Steadfast is no mess with no minister of God, man of God, woman of God proclaiming. He was very, and Pastor Chris Johnson said at the homegoing service, he was very particular about who he let up in the pulpit and that he was very thankful that he was allowed to be in the pulpit because you couldn't come up in here with no mess. And Pastor Sam Goodwin had to see how your fruit was bearing before you were allowed to even speak to his people. He was a very protective shepherd of us to ensure that we didn't get words of God from people who weren't worthy. Doesn't mean that God's people who minister the word to you are perfect, but they should come up to a certain standard. That's an expectation that is given. And so, even though I can't be out in these streets doing any and everything, because you're going to know me by my fruit. And so if I'm supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, then it needs to be on display at all times. And the only way that you get to know people by their fruit is to see the fruit grow. But somehow, when people come to us as prophets, we don't expect the fruit to grow. We just see the fruit they have in hand, and we don't question where it came from. And when you think about church culture, and I was thinking about this, I have some friends whose spiritual lives lean heavily into prophecy. And then I have friends who are more like me. We're cautious with the people that say they're prophets. Not because prophets aren't of God, and we're going to look at the scriptures to show that, but because we have to be very careful. It's how you get duped. How do you know that a prophet is a prophet lest you see the fruit bear in them? So if you, and I was watching something very weird on Instagram the other night. They were talking about taking a lemon tree, cutting a cucumber, pulling off the bark, and kind of starting this root system so that you can like spawn a tree from a tree, a seed, instead of doing it from the seed, that you do it with this particular method. It's a little bit faster and more efficient. And I'm like, I wonder if that's a good tree or a bad tree. Don't know. Don't know what the, but we won't know. We saw on Instagram the tree that has started, but until that tree grows up and starts to bear fruit, because it's supposed to bear lemon. And until we cut into that lemon, is this lemon cucumbery? Have we created a hybrid product? That's how people do it. They splice this with that and they get these hybrid things. We go into the store and we buy these seedless watermelon because we don't want to deal with the seeds. But seedless watermelon, for the most part, are genetically modified, which means they tinkered with the good. That's why I ain't had watermelon in 20 years because they don't grow like they used to. And so we have gotten far from how things are grown, and then we just take the fruit and see, instead of seeing how the fruit is born in that particular person's life. And that is where we've gone wrong. Jesus says, "Beware of them who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit," which is sometimes why you get or no fruit, because some trees don't bear fruit. even though they're fruit trees. I remember when Mama and them first moved to 316 Wiltshire Way, I think they planted a pear tree in the backyard. And the pear tree never bore any fruit. It grew up, but it didn't grow fruit. It was a bad tree. Lightning struck that tree. That tree fell down. That tree no longer exists. It was rotten from the inside out. That tree was not a good tree, and it did not bear fruit. But unless you give it an opportunity to bear fruit, unless you spend the time cultivating, watching to see what the fruit is, you're not going to know what it bears. And a lot of us allow false prophets to come into our lives and give us fruit that might look like it's good and might taste good because they didn't make it. It is very easy to take the word of God and one day put it in context and the next day take it out of context because you just want to fool. That's the sheep's clothing. The first time you hear a prophecy from anybody, they're probably hitting on something. Depending on what you're talking about, they can't miss the first time or you'll never give them another opportunity. But as one of my friends said, who's very into prophets, and I just had to tell her, look, you got to learn, know the Lord for yourself. This is not a game. And if you allow these people to keep speaking into your life, then you will end over into some great area where the Lord cannot bless you because you're not depending, trusting, relying on him, but on these people, and they haven't even proven to you that they have fruit that say that they know what thus says the Lord. And so why do we continue to listen to these prophets? And the reason I think the Lord is emphasizing this to us in this season is because we have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have TikTok, we have TV. We got all ways where people are saying, I am saying what thus says the Lord. And they are not. And they have no fruit. And we're not insulated like Jesus would have been with a prophet. A prophet would have to come and dwell with you for a while. They have to spend some time so that you could see the fruit. And so we don't have requirements to show fruit. We just partake of the first fruit, and then we don't question where the fruit is coming from. You can always tell. You always know, and people make jokes about it, the office party, right? People bring dishes. And it doesn't matter what's going on at our family function. If I don't see that so-and-so brought such and such, then I'm not eating such and such. Because I don't know where it came from. I don't know what your habits are. I don't know how clean your kitchen is. I don't know who raised you. We'll be discerning over the food we eat at the office party or don't eat. And we won't be discerning over what we consume in regards to the word of God because it sounds good. It looks like a lemon. It tasted like a lemon the first time. Then we just keep consuming and consuming and consuming. And let's not forget the algorithm that is AI that is trying to get you to buy stuff on the back end of when you go on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, and it's not bad, but you gotta understand it's an algorithm. So if you like somebody's video, they're going to keep showing you videos that that person has done and people like them. And sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't. But if you keep consuming it and consuming it, because sometimes the algorithm is wrong. And I look at something and I'm like, why would they even think that I would like this? Or sometimes you like me, I'm just human, and I be scrolling and sometimes I fall asleep. Or sometimes I will dwell on something for a long period of time. Oh, yeah, Facebook, Instagram, they're looking at how long you're looking at a thing too. And so they'll just keep suggesting things. And then everything is that thing and you're like, oh, and you have let AI become a false prophet. Because you think the Spirit of God is sending you these things and it's actually technology working at its best. And so you have to be very careful with what you consume. And it just blows my mind. It's not that technology is bad or wrong. It's not that AI is wrong or bad. But Jesus says, beware, because they come to you in sheep's clothing. So if you're scrolling on your phone and you spend a lot of time scrolling on your phone and not scrolling the Word of God, it's the Word of God that's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I often think about young believers or believers who don't know much, because I know a lot and I find myself getting duped because I've put too much time into the thing. And that's when I know, ooh, I got to get off this TV. I got to get off this Instagram. I got to stop scrolling and clicking and watching. Because, ooh, this ain't Jesus at all. This ain't even close to who he is. And so it's incumbent on us to know who God is, to know his word like the back of our hands. And then you have these other false prophets now who say, well, this means this, but it didn't mean that. This is the King James Version. This is the white man's version of the Bible. And not the written word of the Bible. And yes, if you are very scholarly, you can see some of the gender preferences of the time, some of the racial preferences of the time, and the choice of words. But understanding that God's word is living and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, God's word should be established. And if you look at the word of God and its primary things, then you will see that you were supposed to love people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Jesus loved people that you're supposed to love. So there's no doctrine that any false prophet could give you that says that you're not supposed to love. We want to dwell in the margins. Well, I don't see anything about this. I don't see anything about that. Look at the themes that are repeated from past to present to talking about what comes in the future. And find the two or three witnesses that confirm. If you don't have two and three witnesses, don't lean into that as heavy. Because that's not where you're supposed to be. Our pastor taught us that. We know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We just lazy. We don't want to. And when you get at the heart of why you don't want to, and I talk to my friend about it all the time, having a relationship, and I wrote this note down, one, we miss the wisdom because we don't grow our own food. We miss the time it takes to bear fruit and how things grow. And also, we want prophets to substitute our own time spent with God and our relationship with God. We don't want to know him for ourselves. We want somebody else to tell us. Y'all want me to tell you what thus says the Lord. And then you come ask me stuff. I'm like, pray yourself. Because you're not going to believe that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, until you have to have faith, hope, confident expectation for something for yourself and believe God and have God speak to you and know his voice and follow what he says. Until you walk a thing out by faith and not by sight, you don't know what that feels like. And false prophets allow you to say, okay, I'm going to substitute this person's judgment for mine because I'm not strong enough in faith. You do recognize you're not strong enough in faith to do it on your own, but you will allow yourself to come into agreement with people who don't agree with the word of God because you don't think that God can show up for you. You don't have the patience to develop the relationship with him that he's going to work it out for you. And this is the dirty little secret about faith. It always has to grow and increase. You never stand still in your relationship with God. If you have faith and believe God for a thing and that thing manifests, then there is something else beyond it that causes your faith to have to grow higher because he wants you to trust him more and more and more and more. And the only way to do that is to keep walking by faith and not by sight. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's not possible to please God if you're not walking by faith. But he who comes to God must believe that he is. I could have just stopped the verse right there. If you go to God, you got to believe that he is. Once you believe that he is, you will believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. False prophets keep you from seeking him. Not that you don't believe that God can do, but you don't want to up your faith until it manifests in your life for whatever it is. And you don't want to do the hard work of getting into this word, rightly dividing it, seeking his face every day, keeping that relationship, keeping yourself pure before him so that you can be a good witness to him in this earth. Those things are hard and they're time consuming and we're lazy. We go to the grocery store to buy our food. We don't grow it. And we don't count the cost of what it takes to grow. I just went and bought a bag of Brussels sprouts for 4th of July. I did not grow the stock. I didn't watch it develop. I also didn't enjoy the fruits of my labor. Had to pay somebody, and it wasn't, I was cutting up my Brussels sprouts, and half of them were rotten, because guess what? You can't see what's inside the Brussels sprout that's inside the bag. From the outside, it looked all right. And then when I started cutting them up, several of them were kind of rotten. And I'm glad I cut them up and didn't just cook them whole, because sometimes if they're small enough, I'll just cook them whole. But, you know, when they're a little bit bigger, it's easier to cook through when you cut them in half. I love Brussels sprouts, and so does this one. And so we eat a lot of them. And so they're good for you. And so, you know, we don't bother to do it. You know, some of the best food we had, that food we grew in that garden back there, that okra was on point that year. Them cucumbers and squash and zucchini. Glenda, you could tell I was talking about, was making the bread. Yeah, zucchini bread. There is a benefit to growing your own stuff. There is a benefit in faith to cultivating your own faith. And even though God has given us prophets, even though God has given us pastors, teachers, and evangelists, it's to equip us for his work. It's not to provide the primary food or substitute the relationship that God has for us. Look at verse 18. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And so as you are looking at these people who are calling themselves prophets, if somebody introduced themselves as prophet or prophetess, I am most likely going to be turned off. Because, you know, my spidey senses go off. Because if you really carry the mantle of a prophet, that's a heavy thing. That's a higher level of scrutiny than a pastor and all. Because people need to see the fruit bearing at all times, which means you need to be living a more transparent life than anybody else. We got to see your fruit bearing. We got to see if what you say is so. You got to be specific. You can't be prophelying. And you can't be in yourself. You know, in this new wave, if you're watching Instagram videos, YouTube, blah, 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 there is this new wave of minister that's being introduced in the atmosphere that does not sound like the fruit of the Spirit when they talk, when they minister. They're mean. They nasty. And they are approaching you in a mean, nasty way. And it's not that I can preach like this the whole day and the word of God will cut you the same. I don't have to say nothing. I can smile at you the whole service and God will convict your heart because the Holy Spirit does what he needs to do. I don't have to be confrontational with you. We're not casting out demons here. Turn over very quickly to Galatians chapter 5. Familiar scripture, because when Jesus is using the word fruit in the Greek here in Matthew 7, it's the same fruit that's being referred to in our favorite scripture, Galatians 5:22-23. And we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 together. If you're there, say, I have it. Okay, Galatians 5:22-23, let's begin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is, give God a praise offering for the word. The Amplified says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes. I'm going to say that again because I messed it up. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. So if you're listening to people who you perceive to be prophets, and there is not love in what they're saying, if there is not joy, which means you got to stay a while to see if they're bearing these fruits, if there is not peace that passes all understanding in their lives, if there is not patience and even temper, if they always on 100, something is wrong. Because that's not like God. That's not like Jesus. People be like, Jesus turned over the table in the temples. That was one time. One time. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is a table turner over. Now, Jesus did say what he needed to say. He said what he said. But in general, it was perceived by others who were not of good intent as a threat, not those who were the intended audience, which were those he was trying to win over. If you was convicted, great. If you trying to flim-flam people for the benefit of money, that's a problem. If people are only providing this prophecy in the space of services, I'm getting all in everybody's business today. I'm saying what I'm saying. Where multiple offerings are going on. If the move of God is only strong when money is present, when money is ready, when there's a great financial profit attached to it, then it's a problem. It's part of the reasons why our founder went without rather than bring a false prophet in here to generate more money for the house to meet his needs. You want to talk about walking by faith? Collect the offering, pay all the bills, take what is left over, and see God work in your life and be the biggest giver in church. That's who we had. not bringing people in to shake up the offering so I can floss my car, so I can wear certain things. And God took care of him regardless. God met his needs regardless. He didn't have to forfeit our spiritual growth for his financial profit. If it's always about that, that's can't always. That's not to say that you shouldn't go to a church prepared to give an offering if someone ministers the word. We know the principle. If people sow spiritual things to you, you're supposed to sow carnal things to him. But you shouldn't be hitting me five times because you ain't met your quota because your financial staff is running in and out. Open your eyes in these churches. Look at what's going on. Ain't nobody coming back from the office to say, we need to have a second special offering today. You know, rest assured that if we have another offering, it is the Spirit of God, because we don't do that. Now, part of that is you. Give yourself, give God a praise offering for y'all. Because you're tithers and you give offerings and you understand the principle. So the needs of the house are met. Your pastor don't look like she toe up. No, she ain't preaching to y'all in these red bottoms. She don't even want to preach to y'all in red bottoms. They had to be flat. You wouldn't even know they was red. But my shoes are nice. They ain't got no holes in them. My clothes are nice. They ain't got no holes in it. You're taking care of your woman of God. You're taking care of the house of God. We're giving into the community. We sow and so we reap. So we don't have the stresses of needing to have those continual services to keep the house of God afloat. We ain't gimmicking over here. It's why we never sold no dinners over here. Because we're walking by faith and not by sight. And so I am very grateful. Thank you, Lord. I ain't had no idea we was going to go this way today. For our founder being the founder and taking the hit so that we didn't have to suffer at the hands of false prophets just to generate some income for life. Even if electricity at home got cut off, it didn't get cut off here. We're going to take care of this house. Was the philosophy. So now we know how to discern what is and what is not. And so as you are looking at these people, if you don't see these fruit, if you're not there long enough to see these fruit, then you don't need to be listening to them, no way. You can't just drop in for a special service and tell us all our lives. There are people who are good at reading people. There are good people who are good at guessing. There are Hollywood movies dedicated to spiritual hustling. Steve Martin did one a few years ago where they had audio and they were calling the things. I don't have no audio. Just making sure you're not going to give me no ones and twos about who God needs. If the Spirit of God calls you out in the service, it's you. It's between him and you. It ain't got nothing to do with me trying to hustle you. Half the time, I don't even preach about stuff I know y'all going through. Because I don't want y'all to be like, she just preaching my life up in here and trying. She could have just called me. I'll just call you. I'll just call you and tell you. No worries. But, you know, we have lived in this bonus and this plus. And that means that sometimes every seat isn't filled in every service. Because what we do in service is not sensational. It is the Word of God. And so you have to learn how to feed on the Word of God in many different ways. I often wonder, Lord, and I'm sure if I needed to or wanted to, and there have been some days when I done yelled and preached it down or whatever, but that's not who I am, and that's not the person he created. That's not what people gonna get when they get here, but they always gonna get the Word of God. It is living, and it is powerful, and ain't nothing false in it. And so if you learn to rightly divide the word of truth, yes, that path is a lot more difficult, but it's a lot more sure. When the Lord meets your need. You never forget. When the Lord provides for you, you never forget. When he heals your body, you don't forget. When he gives you peace that passes all understanding, it don't miss. And you will run and tell that to the world. And you will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ based on your interactions with him. But sometimes we don't want to go through nothing, to have no more interactions, to have no more testimony so that we can overcome. But living on this earth provides plenty of opportunities for tests, trials, and temptations. And Jesus is warning us, don't lean into these false prophets. They're not meant for your good. Flip over to Ephesians, since we close by, chapter 4. It should only be a page or two. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. We're going to read verses 11 and 12 together. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. If you're there, say, I have it. Okay, we're going to begin. Let's begin. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. So this is just one scripture, but there are plenty of scriptures who confirm that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If at the end of what the prophet has to say, there is no equipping of you for the work of the ministry, there's no edifying of the body of Christ, if you aren't built up at the end of what you have heard, then it ain't true. There ain't no fruit being born, because we're supposed to be walking in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, not brashness, evilness, cussing, in your face stuff. That's not like Christ. Christ just turned over the temple. He didn't cuss people out in the temple. We be adding to the story, because if we turned the table over, then we would have cussed somebody out, putting words on them. He just, for real, we do. We go too far and do it in the name of the Lord. Don't be doing that. We have to be careful that our apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers equip us for the work of the ministry. That there is a particular focus. And if you can't look back through that particular prophet's history, now you can find video after video after video on Facebook, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. You can watch a history of a person, but you need, is that person attached to a ministry? Do you know who their pastor is? Do you know who their cover is? These kinds of things. But you just done took a word and ran with it. We need to thank the Lord that God's word does not return to him void. It accomplishes what it set out to teach. But sometimes his word comes through these people that ain't his people, but it's still his word. And so you have to be very careful, because there will always come that point when his word goes away and their word comes into play. And another way that we are getting some false prophets today is through those who have multiple purposes. And so they mix a little religion with a little health. They mix a little religion with a little mental health. They mix a little religion with this, that, and the other to try to pull you in, because they're trying to come from a spiritual perspective, but they have these natural things, or they mix a little religion in with investment. And it's not that our lives don't overlap. We're spirit beings. We have souls. We live in bodies. But God's word should always remain his word. And it don't need no explanation or extrapolation beyond what the word says. People are going too far. And they do it a lot in mental health. And mental health is a field of health in and of itself. But you got to understand that mental health is man's way of trying to interpret what God created. Just like physical health is man's way of trying to interpret what God created in this body. And so sometimes man hits right and sometimes man hits wrong. But then at the end of the day, these people who are mixing the two, what are they getting out of this? Is it equipping you for the work of the ministry? Is it edifying you? Or is it getting you to spend money with them on their product, on their service? So yes, you can have a mental health professional who is a believer, but they should have some conflict with that because there are rules that rule and govern mental health. They shouldn't be freely crossing these boundaries with you. Because the diagnosis is the diagnosis. Just like your doctor can give you good advice, and you can have a doctor that may pray with you or for you, but at the end of the day, to keep their insurance, they better do what they've been trained to do. And so when you find these folks in these gray spaces, you are looking at false prophets. Sounds real good till you get sick. And then you read that disclaimer at the bottom that says, I ain't mean what I said, but what I said. You can't sue me over that. Then you've gotten yourself in a mental quagmire. You found yourself chanting things every day that are affirmations that aren't meditation. You're supposed to meditate on the word of God. Not, I am, I am, I am. God says this about me. God says this about me. God says this about me. There's a difference. And you can get into the I ams and not get into the what God says. And then you don't even double check the I ams no more. And they're affirming stuff that God ain't say you are. This is how false prophecy is happening today. Not people dressed up to look like people like me, but people who find you in spaces where we ain't, and you lend ear to. And God is warning you today, you need to check yourself for you wreck yourself. You need to bring yourself into conformity to the word of God. It is living and powerful. And really seek the Holy Spirit and seek out help. If you need mental health help, you should get it. Go to a professional. Don't go to Instagram. If you need physical health advice, go to a professional. Don't go to Instagram. Don't go to TikTok. I'm just like y'all. I wonder if I do these particular workouts, if my body shape will change into this over 30, 40 days. If I buy this thing, if I get access to this thing, will this work for me? We already know we being gimmicked. It's just easy because you hooked up to Google Pay, Apple Pay, all the other pays, your Facebook, and then you've been unclicked on something and accessed something so quick. And it's so hard to get out of. You want a subscription every month for something that is not according to the word of God or the will of God. And you are forfeiting your money that you need, that you have tithed and gave offerings for, and that could be used to build the kingdom of God or to meet your need. And you are forfeiting it because you don't have faith that God can help you to be disciplined in what you put in your mouth every day. You want a prophet to tell you how to be healed. You want a prophet to tell you how to get a husband or a wife. You want a prophet to tell you how to get in the house. You want a prophet to tell you how to get out of debt. Instead of leaning on, trusting in, and relying on God to be your everything. there is something sweet and precious about your relationship with God, because he is everything. He cares about the pain in your little toe. He cares about the hurt in your heart. He cares about the headaches you have every day. He cares about everything about you, that loneliness you feel that you don't talk to nobody about. He cares about everything about you. He made you. He created you. You just got to trust that he can take care of you. And if there are provisions or earthly things that he needs to send you to, you need to allow him to send you to. I wrote down one more thing and I'm going to stop. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what deceives you. We all have our things that get us caught up. Ask the Lord to reveal to you your weaknesses so the Spirit can help in your weakness. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Lord, help me, because you know I'm a sucker for. Lord, help me, because you know I'm a sucker for a man with big thighs. Every single time, I'm a sucker. Reveal to me my weakness so that I won't be deceived into thinking that this is Mr. Forever. I know y'all weren't expecting that, but I had to choose something that wasn't in nobody's particular pocket today. Lord, you know I'm a sucker for the prophets who tell me my family's going to be made whole. Because you know it's broken, and this thing really bothers me that we haven't all come together. And I need you to help me not be deceived by false prophets who are coming to me in that way. Help me to speak life in that situation and circumstance. Help my unbelief that you'll never do this for me. Reveal to me, show me how to navigate through these difficult waters, because I don't know how to deal with this. Every single time we talk, it's worse. Help me, Lord. Instead of giving over to the false prophet who wants to tell you how to fix this quick, and it ain't no quick fix, then you turn over a table with a person and you were right on the precipice for the whole situation being healed. Sometimes you just got to stand still and see that God is God. It's not complicated. Just got to stand still and let him be who he is. Sometimes you just got to stand still and say, God, you are who you are. I trust you more than anybody to take care of my need. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word.